2-Minute Drill on The Bill Riley Show. A quick hit look at what's going on around the world of sports locally, regionally, and nationally. The 2-Minute Drill, brought to you by Alta Mortgage Financial on Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700.
2-Minute Drill time, presented by Alta Mortgage Financial, as we begin hour number two here on The Bill Riley Show on Utah's number one sports talk. The Utah Jazz playing in Summer League in Las Vegas, along with just about the rest of the NBA. Portland's down there as well. Mike Richmond covers the Blazers for the Oregonian. He joins us right now on the 2-Minute Drill. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How would you categorize the summer so far? Draft, free agency, and Summer League for the Blazers?
Expensive, that's how I would describe it. You know, they didn't have a draft pick this year because they lost it in the air in a swallow deal that when they were sort of going for broke last year. And so they had no first-round draft pick. They bought a second-round draft pick and then have since spent, I don't know, $200 million to bring back their own free agents and add Festus Ezeli and Evan Turner.
They lost out on Chandler Parsons. I really thought Parsons might end up there. He ended up choosing Memphis instead. Then they had to spend a lot of money on Allen Crabb. Jazz fans, by the way, were getting a little chuckle over that since the Blazers made the Jazz spend a lot of money in recent years on guys.
But, yeah, Blazers got what they deserved.
Yeah, they got their poison pill right back again, I suppose. But Allen Crabb, that's a lot of money, but he does have some upside. He did show some things at the end. I'm curious, though, they spent a lot of money on Evan Turner as well. Do they think Evan Turner is that guy that can kind of get him to that next level?
They're definitely planning on being a team that competes deep into the playoffs. That's their vision of what this team is, a core that can go forward and be competitive into the playoffs. I don't know if Evan Turner specifically in a vacuum is the guy that helps them get there, but they really needed a third ball handler. They basically had no one else who could dribble outside of CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard last year, so they spent $70 million to find someone who could dribble.
They're really good on the wing. I mean, I really do like. I like McCollum. I like Dame Lillard. I do like Allen Crabb. I don't know if I like him for $75 million, but that front court, though, Noah Vonleh, Mason Plumlee, they're really wing-oriented. I'm not sure about that front court, though.
Yeah, well, they're sort of committing to that front court. You know, they added Festus Ezeli, who, again, this is like a player they just didn't have last year, a 7-footer, 265 pounds. They just didn't have as much bulk up front last year. They're more, maybe soft isn't the right word, but more finesse with sort of the skill set that they had up front.
Sure.
And then they paid $40 million to bring back Myers Leonard. So they've got, you know, they're investing in their own free agents as well. You know, they don't have a stud down there, but they have a lot of bigs now. I don't think Noah Vonleh, who started most of last year, will sniff the court very much next season.
Where do you kind of see him fitting in the hierarchy of the West? I mean, obviously it's all projection right now. I've kind of penciled the Jazz in, I think, with what they did is maybe in that 4-5 range, assuming they stay healthy. The Blazers had a nice little playoff run, but where do you see him fitting in the West right now?
Yeah, I'd say that the Blazers are probably in the second half of that Western Conference playoff run, somewhere between 8 and 5. You know, if things broke right for them and the guys who they've just paid all this money to really develop and take a step forward this year, maybe they can make a leap forward. It kind of depends on what happens with Oklahoma City. If they tear it all down and trade Russell Westbrook, I think that then there's a void at the top, but nobody's catching the Warriors. Everyone's playing for number two anyways, and maybe number three behind the Spurs as well.
Mike Richmond, you can read him in the pages or on the web pages of the Oregonian if you would like. He's the Blazers beat writer. Mike, stay cool in Vegas. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot.
There you go. Mike Richmond with us here on the 2-Minute Drill. Tonight, right here on ESPN 700, you will hear the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. The battle for the rights to home field advantage in the World Series, which is just silly, but we've been talking about that for years. Giancarlo Stanton continues to bombard downtown San Diego with home runs, and Mike Exesa joins us right now talking some baseball from CBS Sports. That was impressive last night from Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's kind of the player that the Home Run Derby is made for. You know, I know Stanton is not had the greatest first half. He had that really long slump for a while there, but the Home Run Derby is supposed to be a spectacle, and you want players like Stanton and Trumbo in there, and the two of them, especially Stanton, they put on a great show last night.
Anything from the game tonight that grabs your interest and intrigue when it comes to the actual game itself, aside from the home field advantage being on the line?
Yeah, I don't love the home field advantage part, but no. It is what it is. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Mike Trout does again, and I know it's kind of cliche to pick the best player, but Trout is, he's something like 5-for-10 with a home run, 2 doubles, a triple in his all-star career, which is against the best players, and he's won back-to-back MVP awards. You know, he's the only player ever to do that. You know, he's a generational talent, and he's certainly had one of the best starts to a career ever. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does tonight, because it really seems like this is becoming the Mike Trout show every year. And you have all of baseball's best players in one spot, and yet he's still standing out from the packs because he's so good. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does tonight, if he's going to win that third straight MVP.
Last thing, Mike, as we get to post-All-Star game, the next big story becomes the trade deadline. What team, as you look at both divisions or both leagues, American League and National League, what team really needs to make a move if they want to make the postseason?
I think the Orioles they jump out to me the most because their rotation is so bad. You know, the offense is really good, and that's why they're in first place, because they're outscoring teams. But the rotation, especially after Chris Tillman and Kevin Gausman, is really, really weak. And if they're going to hold off the Blue Jays and the Red Sox, they have to go out and get rotation help. And, you know, I'm not really sure which direction they're going to go, because they don't have a ton of prospects to trade. They usually don't take on much money when they make deals. So their options are going to be limited. As it stands right now, I don't think they have enough to hold off the Blue Jays and the Red Sox. They really, really need to go out and get another arm. Preferably two, but at least one.
Sounds like you're talking about my Kansas City Royals the exact same way, but we'll see what they end up doing in Kansas. They don't have many assets right now either after they made their run last year. Mike, thanks. Enjoy the All-Star game. We'll talk to you soon.
Sure.
There you go. Mike Exesa from CBS Sports talking MLB. The All-Star game tonight right here on ESPN 700. We'll have it all for you. First pitch tonight is 6 o'clock, right after O'Connell and Swinney here on ESPN 700.